From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled Established and Kept. The text is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Men are often as devoid of reason as of faith. There are with us still unreasonable and wicked men. There is no use in arguing with them or trying to be at peace with them. They are false at heart and deceitful in speech. Well, what of this? Shall we worry ourselves with them? No. Let us turn to the Lord, for He is faithful. No promise from His word will ever be broken. He is neither unreasonable in His demands upon us, nor unfaithful to our claims upon Him. We have a faithful God. Be this our joy. He will establish us so that wicked men shall not cause our downfall, and He will keep us so that none of the evils which now assail us shall really do us damage. What a blessing for us that we need not contend with men, but are allowed to shelter ourselves in the Lord Jesus, who is in truest sympathy with us. There is one true heart, one faithful mind, one never-changing love. There let us repose. The Lord will fulfill the purpose of His grace to us, His servants, and we need not allow a shadow of fear to fall upon our spirits. Not all that men or devils can do can hinder us of the divine protection and provision. This day, let us pray the Lord to establish and keep us.
In times of deep despair, I lift my eyes unto the hills where comes my help and aid, unto the God who cares for His own, unto the God whose glories never fade. I precious thought, my helper never fails, but watches, keeps me safe both night and day, refreshing me with promises divine and words of peace that never pass away.
I love the way and cast my own.
Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've mentioned Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the ltbsradio.com website. In addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Or if you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Continuing his series of studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Peculiar Power of the Gospel. Paul's thesis for the book of Romans is found in verses 16 and 17 of chapter 1, where he writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The heart of the gospel is justification by faith alone through faith in Christ alone. The first thing we note about the gospel is its divine origin. It is not the product of human philosophy. Rather, it is a divine revelation. Now to continue this message, the peculiar power of the gospel, here is Dr. Cairns.
The gospel is a divine revelation. When we read that it is revealed, we are informed that this is something, a subject upon which the mind of man has no information whatsoever apart from what God gives directly by revelation. Here is something miraculous. Here is something entirely divine in its content. The mind of man could never arrive at it. There is no way in the study of any of the disciplines that the human mind could ever arrive at the doctrine of a free justification on the merits of Jesus Christ received by faith without works. That is a matter of divine revelation. Not only is it a matter of divine revelation, but it is a revelation that's given to us in Scripture. Notice that immediately after referring to this fact of revelation, the apostle says, as it is written. In other words, he says, this is a matter of revelation. Now, where are you going to find the revelation? That's a very, very big question. Very important question. People come up with all sorts of answers. And he does not direct them to the unwritten traditions, though they were abundant. He directs them to the written word of God. As it is written, and he's quoting from Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. It is written. So as a proof of revelation, the apostle refers us to the Bible, to the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. Now that's a very important thing, because it tells you that the gospel was known and shown, it was revealed in the Old Testament. That's clear from this reference to an Old Testament prophet. It's also clear from how Paul deals with the Old Testament in this book of Romans. In Romans, Paul has around 60 direct quotations from the Old Testament in support of his doctrine. This is the first of them. The first direct quotation from the Old Testament. But there are about 60 of them in all. Now remember what Paul is doing here. Paul is establishing the doctrine of justification by faith alone in Christ alone. That's what he's establishing. And in order to establish his doctrine, he quotes from the Old Testament. Why? Because clearly, this gospel that Paul is emphasizing is not something entirely new. Now, we have seen this already in our studies. Going back to chapter 1, verse 2, we read of the gospel that it was a gospel he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now, I'm not going to make the mistake that too often preachers do and rehash all that I said in that verse. If you have a good memory, you'll remember that we did deal in great detail of the relationship of the Old Testament to the New Testament as we considered that part of the introduction. But clearly, this is not something entirely new. Turning over to chapter 3, verse 21, the apostle speaks of his gospel. He says, now, but now. We will see when we get there, the first two words of that 21st verse are one of the hinges upon which this whole book turns. This is a focal point. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Over in Galatians, he takes up the same theme in chapter 3, verse 8. And he says that the Scripture preached the gospel unto Abraham. The Scripture preached the gospel. In other words, the Scripture records how the gospel was preached unto Abraham. That's why in Romans chapter 4, Paul uses Abraham as one of the great examples of a man who is justified by faith without works. So this gospel was shown and known in the Old Testament. But now it is manifested in all its glory and all its fullness in the New Testament. The verb translated revealed is the verb form of the word that gives us the name of the last book of the Bible. It's the book of the Revelation, or the Apocalypse, as it's very often called, which is simply an anglicizing of the Greek noun. This is the verb form. That word signifies the removing of a veil. Now we are told in the gospel, the veil is removed, and the righteousness of God is clearly seen. In the Old Testament, the gospel was preached, but it was preached under the veil of prophecy that had a long time waiting to be fulfilled. It was preached under the veil of types and foreshadowings. It was preached, yes, but there was still a veil. In the New Testament, the veil is removed and the gospel stands fully revealed. As Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 1, God at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. That's the Old Testament. But the New Testament is this: he has spoken unto us now by or in his Son. The veil is removed. Perhaps the easiest way to explain this is to read what Peter says about it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 to 12. He says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now, understand what he's saying. The prophets received the great statements of the Holy Spirit about salvation, about Christ and his work. They were naturally interested. And so they not only recorded, this is a wonderful insight into the life and the work of an Old Testament prophet. They not only recorded the message, but they then sat down prayerfully and studied what they had recorded. Can you imagine Isaiah with his own 53rd chapter before him? And he's pondering it, and he's praying over it, and he's searching about it, and he's crying to God to give him light on the full meaning of what he has just recorded. God answered their prayer, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. In other words, the prophets learned something, but they learned that the full unveiling of the Christ whom they were predicting and presenting yet lay in the gospel age. So the gospel is now manifested in all its glory and fullness. And this revelation is one that is dynamic and powerful. When we read that the righteousness of God is revealed, we are not to understand that the gospel is merely made known to the minds of men, that God simply makes some facts known, lays them before the mind of man for his apprehension or comprehension. God is not saying here that he's making the facts of the gospel known purely as a matter of providing information. Oh, God does all those things. He gives us the information. He sets the truth before our minds to be apprehended by them. But this revelation is much more than that. You see, the mind of man is darkened. If that's all God ever did, not one of us would ever be saved. You've got to realize that. Now, here I'm perhaps going a little ahead of myself. But when we get into chapter 1, verses 18 and following, we will discover something of the darkness and the depravity and the stupidity, the sinful, stubborn wickedness of the heart and mind of every man and woman by nature. And if God came and gave us all the information about the way to heaven, we would still go to hell. Think of it this way. You come to a man born blind, and you flick on a light. What does he see? Nothing. Doesn't matter to him whether the light is shining or whether it's not. He sees nothing. Why? Because he's blind. That's exactly the parallel situation with our spiritual condition before God. There's blindness. God could flick on the light. He could give us all the information in the world. It would not make any difference in itself unless he gives us the ability to see the light. That's what he does in a saving revelation. This is a saving revelation that he's talking about here. And this revelation not only supplies the light of information, but it gives the sight, it gives the eyes with which to see the light. In other words, it's a revelation of word accompanied by deed. It's a revelation of divine truth in action. When Paul says the righteousness of God is revealed, he means that the gospel, to use the phrase of John Murray, the late Westminster professor, great Scotch preacher, John Murray said the gospel was manifested with saving effect. Therein, the righteousness of God is revealed with saving effect. Hasn't Paul just said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation? Why? Because in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. It's revealed dynamically, powerfully, savingly by the Spirit of God. So it's a divine revelation. Second, this divine revelation is a revelation of a righteousness of God. Now, the expression righteousness of God has caused more ink to be spilled on pages over more centuries than most things in Scripture. According to some, this is a divine attribute. And it makes good sense to say that in the gospel, the divine attribute that God is a righteous God is seen. That's true. It's not the truth that Paul was seeking to establish, but it's true. Others say that the righteousness of God here means God's way or plan of saving sinners. Again, that gets a little closer. Some go a bit further and they say it's God's action in justifying believers. That's what's meant by the righteousness of God. One of the leading modern commentators in Romans says, no, it is the state resulting from that action. It's the justified state that is intended. And so you can read on chapter upon chapter, page upon page, argument upon argument, as all the scholars try to find out what is involved in the expression, the righteousness of God. All these things seem to me to miss one vital point. We must not come to what Paul writes as if it were written by anybody else. We must not come to any statement in this book and divorce it from everything that Paul writes on the subject. That should be obvious. But yet, so often that's what's done. And people focus on the words and the grammar and the syntax, and all that's very important. But when you forget the setting, who wrote it, why he wrote it, where he wrote it, then you're going to miss the meaning. Remember this. The only righteousness that Paul knew or spoke about as the ground of a sinner's justification and acceptance with God was the righteousness that Jesus Christ wrought out for his people by his obedience in life and in death. Now keep that in mind. The only righteous merit that Paul ever contemplated as the ground of a sinner's justification is the righteousness of Christ. By the righteousness of Christ, I mean his obedience to the law of God. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but you'll find that at the end of chapter 5, he takes this up in some detail, and especially in verses 18 and 19. He is dealing with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the merit of his obedience of the law of God, of the merit of his dying to placate or pay the penalty of the law of God and placate the wrath of God. That's the righteousness that God provided. Paul knew no other righteousness. And he didn't discuss any other righteousness as a ground of acceptance with God. And I would put it to you that it would be common sense for us, therefore, not to discuss any other righteousness but the one that the apostle had in mind.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.